After committing herself to a psychiatric hospital in 2013, writer Therese Myatt was given a notebook. The result is her award-winning debut memoir, Heartberries. It tells the story of her coming of age on the Seabird Island First Nation in British Columbia, her sometimes tumultuous family relationships, and her struggles with mental illness. Wyoming Public Radio's Savannah Marr caught up with Myatt during a recent visit to the University of Wyoming. They talked about what Native writers risk and gain by putting their stories out into the world.
My book is essentially about how to love when you come from a dysfunctional home and you have these long shadows of shame kind of following you everywhere you go. And people genuinely have lots of opinions about my husband. So I was like, sometimes I wish they'd ask like the difference between what he's like on the page and what he's like in real life, because there's such a difference. But then I'm like, how would I even answer that? Like, how would I explain that, you know, he makes me burritos? And like things like that didn't make it to the memoir. I just think it's so funny. Yeah.
It must be. And I wonder what, because like your sons are in this book, your husband is in this book, and a lot of your family. And I wonder what their reactions have been to it.
Yeah, I think it was a difficult decision to put my sons in the book, mostly because I talk about what it's like to have postpartum depression and like my worst parenting moments. But I felt like if I wrote about that, I would make it easier on women who've experienced mental illness, who've dealt with postpartum, who like really want to see that experience represented and not justified, but shown how it is, which is pretty ugly, but it's something you can recover from. So I think when my children are old enough, they're going to see that I went through a lot just to be able to give them a really good childhood.
So in your talk just now with a bunch of UW students, you were talking about rising to the occasion of a dream. Mm-hmm. And the way that I first was introduced to your writing was when I was like 17, 18 years old reading Indian Country Today, mm-hmm. and reading your columns in Indian Country Today.
Oh, no. I've made so much trouble for myself by writing in Indian Country Today. It was because I really, at the time, I was like taking care of a newborn baby. I was doing my graduate studies, and I was always reading Indian Country Today. And I was like, I have an opinion about this. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, right after I fed my baby, I emailed Ray Cook, an editor who's since passed away. And I said, you know, I really want to write about murder and missing Indigenous women. I really want to write about what it's like to see statistics close up. And he said yes. So like I just started writing, and I had no formal education on how to write editorials. But I created a lot of trouble when I started writing about Native American art and the fact that we should be criticizing each other. I got so much pushback. Yeah.
See, that's exactly what I was going to ask you about is, like, at the time, Indian Country Today was a lot of, like, listicles, and yeah. That's what, I mean, and I love Indian Country Today.
Me too.
But it was a lot of that.
It felt reductive, you know, about our identities, and, like, I'm at least glad that I pushed back a lot on some of the things I saw going on, like, kind of reductive lists about, like, 10 ways to know your res and things like that, because it doesn't really talk about our experiences, and you know, it's more than just like blankets for doors and stuff, you know? Yeah.
I don't know about you, but it feels like to me now, even since like 5 years ago, it feels like there's a lot more room for mm-hmm. being critical of mm-hmm. of Native art. And
I
like,
I think so too. So when I wrote that originally, some of the people I really looked up to said like, we should be supporting each other, not tearing each other down, like the crabs in the bucket idea. And I felt like it was like a misrepresentation of my actual criticism, which is like, I want to be a heavy hitter in this world. I want to write a great memoir. Like, in order to do those things, I'm going to need somebody to tell me about tropes and to sharpen the poetry in my lines. And, you know, I'm not going to get there without criticism.
Yeah. I think another criticism that Native writers get a lot is this idea that we should not write about trauma mm-hmm. or write about things that could be weaponized yeah. against us.
The truth is, anything we do will be weaponized against us. So the example right now I'm kind of living through is that I have acquired like a sense of normalcy or consistency with my income and things like that. But sometimes white people look at me and they say, look, she could pull herself up by her bootstraps. She did it by herself. Why can't these other Indians? And then they look down on people. I just realize anything you do, people are going to use it, especially if you're Indigenous. They're going to use it. So either way, we'll be criticized.
Yeah, it's a trap.
Yeah, it's all a trap. That's why I think, you know, Indigenous people should know everybody has an internal sense of what their passion is. And I feel like our calling often is something that's needed in our own families. And I think as long as we protect that, we'll be fine. Yeah.
The first line of your book is, my story was maltreated. Mm-hmm. Do you still feel that way, or do you feel like you've taken back control of your own story?
I think, you know, in a lot of ways, the book was a reclamation of my own story, and being the driving force of a piece of art was really important for me. And I realized that the text really will live forever in some way, shape, or form, whether that's through generational legacy or whether it's through that these books, these physical texts kind of live on. So I feel like my story is still being maltreated because it's being like unpacked in Native lit courses as representative still. You know, even though I've explicitly said Native people, when we write, it's not representative, it's singular. I mean, you can't help that. But I think with the cultivation of the actual work, that will never be maltreated in terms of like, it stands by itself. I don't need to redeem it. It's redeemed itself.
That's writer Therese Myatt talking about her memoir, Heartberries,